Good morning. I trust everyone had a Merry Christmas. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Chuck Beam. I'm the Discipleship and Missions Pastor here at First Baptist Church. And Brother Greg and Donna are with family enjoying Christmas. And Brother Mike is doing the same. And so, John, thanks, Brother, for getting up early this morning, coming back from Christmas and leading us in worship this morning. I appreciate you, Brother. It's good to be here in God's house this morning, isn't it? I was thinking during the song, hearing the rain come down, what a peaceful morning of God's Spirit resting upon us. You know, Christmas is really a great time of the year. Would you agree with me? I love Christmas time. Some of my greatest family memories are of this time of the year. I remember as a child, for example, my dad was in the Navy, career Navy, and I remember this one year, he was out at sea on a cruise, was going to be gone for several months. On an aircraft carrier, they go out for 6-7 months at a time. And we didn't expect to see Dad at Christmas. And I remember very distinctly one night we were sitting on the couch and I was watching, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on the cartoon. You remember the little claymation one. And the doorbell rang and we went and opened the door and there was my dad standing there at the door. I still remember that just like it was yesterday. And as a parent, of course, I remember very vividly the first Christmases of each of my children. They are special times. And I especially remember this one Christmas, and my oldest son Chuck and his wife and kids are here this week. This one Christmas, when Chuck was little, it was the first year he got a real bike, all right? Not a big wheel, but a real bike. And to see his face light up, he was so happy and excited until I picked him up and sat him on it. And he began to scream and cry in terror. I wish we could find that video because I would win $100,000 with it, I guarantee you. It was hilarious. I remember that just like it was yesterday. And as a grandparent, I have to tell you that this Christmas is a special one because we've got to spend this week. All of our kids are here. All of our grandchildren are here. It's Holly and Elijah's first Christmases. What a special time. I love Christmas. And what happens at Christmas time is we begin to think about all the things that we're thankful for, don't we? And as Christians, we call those things blessings. And I think that's rightly so because as believers, as people of the Word, we understand and know that God is the giver of all good things. Amen? Everything we have comes from Him. And I think that in a time like we're in today, it's even more important for us to remember that and to count our blessings. You see, it's really easy to become discouraged when we watch the news and we listen to the news every day and we hear and see things like increasing terrorism, falling stock market, growing unemployment rates. I heard a guy the other day say, you know what, my 401k is now a 201k. All right? It's easy to get down when we're inundated with that day in and day out. But I want to tell you, if we would just stand back for a second, and if we would look at the things that we do have and focus on them rather than the things that we don't have or the things that we've lost, friends, I think that we would quickly realize how blessed a people we really are. You see, we've got a roof over our head. We've got food to eat. We've got people that love us. And we live in a country that really, comparably speaking, is a safe place to live. Think about this. Did you know that 40% of the world's population, that's 2.7 billion people out of the 6.7 billion people, live on less than $2 a day? Let that sink in for just a second. And did you know that 40% of the world's population in 2005, they only accounted for 5% of all of the income around the world? Amazing. Did you know this? That the top 20% of the world accounted for 75% of the income. And friends, we're well within that top 20%. Wouldn't you agree with me? In fact, in 2007 and 2008, the poverty line was set here in the United States for one person at an income of $10,400 a year. And for a family of four, $21,200 a year. That's a lot more than $2 a day, isn't it? We live in a country that's ranked as 11th healthiest place to live on earth. It's ranked as the 12th best country to live in on earth. And last year, about 1.1 million people immigrated legally into the United States. We're a blessed people. There must be something happening here. Would you agree with me? Despite all the things that are going on in our country, we are blessed. And have you ever wondered, and I know I have, why in the world has God blessed us like He has? Is it because that He loves us more than others? Could it be that God loves the United States of America more than He loves, say, Mexico or Bulgaria or Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan or any other country in the world? Do you think that's true? Some people would have you believe that so. But I've got to tell you that when I read Scripture, what I see is that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Okay, well, maybe it's because we're better people, right? As Americans, we're just better people. No, I don't see that either. Because when I read Scripture, what I see is this. All have turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're not blessed because we're better than anyone else. Now, Christmas has me thinking about God's blessings and the purpose behind His blessings for us. And so this morning, I want us to take a look at Scripture to see how the Word of God addresses blessings. Now, our focus this morning is going to be on Psalm 67. We're going to look at some other passages as well, but we're going to focus on that. So this morning, I'd like us to start by standing together in honor of God's Word. And would you follow along with me? Go ahead and stand up. Follow along with me as I read Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, thank You that You are here this morning. You are a good, mighty, awesome, sovereign God. And we thank You for the blessings You have given us. This morning, Lord, we ask that You would send Your Spirit to teach us from Your Word. Help us to understand more about You and Your character and Your ways and Your plan for our lives. Lord, we love You and we look forward to seeing what You'll teach us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated if you would. Now, before we dive into this psalm, and we're gonna kind of dig into it a little bit this morning, I want to give you a little bit of background. Now, this psalm, Psalm 67, was written by King David. And it's sometimes called a missionary psalm. And we'll talk about this a little more. You'll see why as we dig into it. Typically, this psalm was sung corporately. The Jews all together would sing this psalm together at the Feast of Pentecost. Now, the Feast of Pentecost, I want you to know, is also known as the Harvest Feast. And it comes 49 days after Passover. Y'all are familiar with Passover. And the interesting thing about Psalm 67 is when you look at it in the Hebrew, it has 49 words. If you take away, you know, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a song, and you take out the breaks with the selah in there, 49 words. And when you break out those words by verse, what you see is really a beautiful symmetry. And Tim, if you could put that up there, please. Often the Jews would draw and write this psalm in the form of a menorah. You see the symmetry? Verses 1 and 7 have 7 words. Verses 2, 3, 5, and 6, 6 words. And right in the middle, verse 4, 11 words. Isn't that beautiful? Looks like a menorah. And what the Jews do, some of them, is they relate each of the 49 Hebrew words to each of the days between Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, between Passover and the Feast of Pentecost. And so every night, starting the night after Passover, all the way through Pentecost, they would recite this psalm together. Kind of neat. Now, as Christians, when we hear the word Pentecost, we kind of think of something different, don't we? Our minds go to the events of Acts chapter 2 when God poured out His Spirit in what was really the beginning, the igniting point of the early church. In fact, if you remember, after God poured out His Spirit, Peter then got up and preached. And do you remember what happened? 3,000 people were saved that day. And when you think about it, Pentecost in Acts, as we read about it and know about it, was really the beginning of a great harvest of souls for the Lord Jesus Christ that's going on even today. And so you see, Pentecost and the harvest are directly tied together. In fact, it's tied together in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And as we begin to look closer this morning at Psalm 67, you're going to see that it's really significant that the Jews would sing this particular psalm at the feast of Pentecost, the harvest feast. Now let's dig in a little bit and let's take a look and see what God tells us in this psalm. The first verse really is a request for blessing. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. Now in this verse, we learn the truth about God. We also get a little bit of an insight into David's heart. First, we learn this. This is a great truth. God is the source of all blessings. God is the source of all benefits. Notice that David was not asking for these things from the world, from any man, or any other little g God. All right? He went straight to the source. God, the Creator, the sovereign ruler of the universe. He knew the truth that God is a giver of all good things. And notice also that David's not asking for good luck or good weather or more money or a victory in war. Instead, here's what David asked for. He asked for God's mercy, he asked for God's favor, and he asked for God's presence. That's what it means when it says, may His face shine upon us. He's asking for God's presence to be among them. Now you may recall that David is known in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. And I think it's because he recognized that as a man, a sinful man, what he needed more than anything else was mercy. And David loved God more than any other material thing that existed on the face of the earth. Now, verse 1 probably also sounds very familiar to you. And if you're a regular here at First Baptist Church, then you hear something like verse 1 every single Sunday morning. Our pastor, Brother Greg Smith, closes every service by saying something that sounds a lot like this. And it comes from Numbers chapter 6, and it's known as the Aaronic Blessing. And if I can find it quickly enough in my Bible, I'm going to read it to you. Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Brother Greg ends every service that way by pronouncing that blessing upon the church. And what's happening here is the Lord is instructing Moses to tell his brother Aaron to bless His people with these words. That's why it's called the Aaronic Blessing. It's a blessing that the high priest would speak and pronounce over the people of Israel. Now, here in Psalm 67, David also begins by asking for God's mercy, His favor, and His presence. But when we take a closer look at verse 1, what we begin to notice is that it's not really exactly like the Aaronic Blessing. In number 6, when he says, the Lord bless us, the word used for God there is the word Yahweh. Now, we know that because if you look in your Bible, go ahead and take a look at your Bible at number 6. What you'll see is the word for Lord is in all capital letters. Right? Now, there was a time in my life when I thought, why do they do that? Why are things different? Well, that's because the word Lord in all caps always refers back to Yahweh as the name of God. And that is the covenant name of the people of Israel with God. It shows an intimate relationship that they had with the Lord. In fact, the Jews think that that name is so holy, they won't even pronounce it. In fact, some Jews, when they write it, will leave out some letters. You'll see with underscores. You'll just see Y underscore W underscore, and they won't spell it all out because they think the name of God is so holy. Now, when we look in Psalm 67, instead what we see for the word for God is Elohim. Now, this just so happens to be the first name for God that we see as we open up the Word. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And what it's saying is, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now, Elohim is a plural of the word El, which means strong one. And every time you see it, it's usually used within the context of God as the Creator. God is the Creator. Isn't it interesting that when we read God's Word from the very first verse in the Bible, we see the presence of the Trinity, right? Elohim is plural. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, there are some people today that think that since Jesus has come, that we don't need the Old Testament anymore. Did you know that? I guess their line of thinking is that, you know, we have the New Testament now, so nothing in the Old Testament counts. The law is just, we don't need it anymore. It's outdated. But friends, I want to remind you this morning that Jesus himself said he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. He came to fulfill it. God's word in its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything from the table of contents all the way up to maps, everything in between there is there for a purpose, for a reason. And that reason is to point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Would you agree with me on that, brothers and sisters? By using the name Elohim, God the Creator, instead of Yahweh, as in number 6, David, what he's doing is moving the focus in the psalm from the people of Israel, he's moving it to the nations. Because God is the Creator of all. He created all the nations. And so he's giving us a hint at why this is called a missionary psalm. Now, as I look at Psalm 67, and it's this theme of God's blessings, it also reminds me of Genesis chapter 12. And it's another blessing. Listen to this. This is Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So here in Genesis 12, God is promising Abraham that if Abraham will obey God and will go where God is sending him, then God is going to bless him, make him a great nation, and that all the world will be blessed through him. How would the world be blessed through Abraham? Do you know? Well, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, at Christmas time, we've been focusing and talking about the Christ child in the manger. The newborn Savior, the newborn Messiah. And sometimes what we forget is that Jesus came through the line of Abraham. He is the blessing that God promised to Abraham. When God said, "Abraham, you're going to be a blessing to the nations," he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor and author John Piper says that this psalm, Psalm 67, teaches us that God's purpose is this: to be known, to be praised, to be enjoyed, and to be feared among all the nations. Let's take a look at those things a little bit this morning as we look further at Psalm 67. In verse 2 it says, "That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations." David is asking for God's blessing so that God's way may be known on earth. Well, let me ask you this question. What is God's way? Let's go to the book of John, chapter 14. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." This is the Lord Jesus speaking. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Friends, God's way was, God's way is, and God's way will always be the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can come to the Father except through a relationship with Jesus. Friends, Jesus was present before creation. You see, in the beginning, he was with God and he was God. He was present at creation, and in fact, everything was created by him. There isn't anything that exists in this world today that was not created by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see his presence as part of the Trinity right there in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And we see it here in verse 2 of Psalm 67. He is God's way. David asked us to be blessed so that God's way, Jesus, would be known in the earth. And also that his saving power would be known among all the nations. You see, we know from Scripture that Jesus is God's saving power. Now, what I want to say to you this morning is something that's quite unpopular in the world. In fact, some people would say I'm kind of a narrow-minded bigot for saying what I'm about to say. But I'm going to say it anyway. Okay? There is only one way to heaven. There is only one way to heaven. Only one way to be saved. Jesus is the only name under heaven whereby men must be saved. I want you to know that, friends. It may seem divisive, but it is the truth. It's a beautiful truth, and it testifies to God's power. It testifies to the elegance of His plan for humanity. There is only one who holds power over the grave, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to call your attention to the word nations at the end of verse 2. The word here for nations is the word goy, which means foreign nations. In other words, the Gentiles, people who are not Jews. David, who is the king of Israel, is asking for God's blessing so that God would be known to the Gentiles, to the rest of the world. He's not speaking about his own people. He's speaking about the non-Jews. That is why this is known as a missionary psalm. You see, David understands God's heart. He gets it. God blessed Israel not because he loved them more, not because they were better people, but because he wanted to reach the rest of the world through the people of Israel. God wanted the Jews, listen, God wanted the Jews to have it so good, to have it so great, that all the other nations would look at them and say, wow, have they got it good. I want to have what they have. What's so different about them? Who is the source of their blessing? That's what God wanted for the people of Israel. Friends, God's purpose and desire is to be known among all the nations of the earth. He also wants to be praised. You see that in verse 3. And by the way, verse 3 is also repeated word for word in verse 5. Gives you some added emphasis on how important it is. He says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Now the word here for people in verses 3 and 5 is the Hebrew word Am, which refers to the tribes of Israel. Here it's saying, God's people, Israel, let them praise you. Can I tell you that when God's people live like the blessed people that they are, others notice. Did you know that? Let me say that again. When God's people will live like the blessed people that they are, others will notice. Now let me take a second to be perfectly clear with you this morning. I'm not saying, and most importantly, God's Word is not saying, that if you come to know the Lord Jesus, your entire life is going to be smooth sailing from here on out. That's not what God's Word says. In fact, every single person is going to have a little trouble in their lives now and again. Would you agree with me? Here's the difference. When we are God's people, what happens is that when we suffer a loss, when we go through a tough time, we recognize the things that we do have. We recognize to whom we belong. We recognize that in our weakness, it is God that is strong. As James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Instead, let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete. Listen to this, lacking in nothing. You live your life like you belong to the sovereign creator of the universe. That's what we need to do. And listen, this is really cool. If we will live our lives like that, watch what happens. Watch what happens. God will be enjoyed. God will be enjoyed. Verse 4, David says, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Now the words for nations here is different from what we saw in verses 2 and 3. Here the word that's used is leom, which means gathered together. It means a community. You see, if we make God's way, and if we make God's saving power known to all the nations who don't believe in Him, and then we who believe in Him will praise Him, then eventually we're going to be gathered together in a community where we will be glad and we will sing for joy in His presence. Amen? Does that not sound great? That, my friends, is heaven. Do you see God's plan now? First, He blesses us. Not because we're special or better than anyone else, but because He chooses to bless us so that we can tell the nations about Him and His saving power. His blessings give us great cause for praise. And we will worship Him with those who come to know Him. God will be praised. God will be worshipped. Now the last part of God's purpose that John Piper talks about is this. We see that God desires to be feared. And we see that plainly in verse 7. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Now I want you to notice the scope of David's words. all the ends of the earth. In other words, there will be nobody, not one single person, who does not fear God. I'm reminded of the passage that says, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Friends, they will bow. We will bow. And we will bow in fear. Now, the Hebrew word here means frightened. It means afraid. It means in reverence. You see, I think this idea of fearing God is greatly misunderstood. There are some people that think we should fear God. It's just too harsh. And so they treat God all the time like He's their best buddy and friend. He's their pal. And then you've got the other end of the spectrum, the people who are so terrified of God that they won't go into His presence and they avoid Him. And really what I think is it's somewhere in between there. Don't you agree? And the best analogy that I can think of is the relationship of a child to his or her father. Earthly father. Now I remember when I was little, my dad to me was Superman. There was not anything that my dad could not do. He could fix anything. He could do anything. He could take care of any problem. My dad was Superman. But let me tell you, when I crossed his path and I had to face him, I was terrified of my dad. Terrified. On the other hand, I remember some very special times where I spent time with my dad fishing, playing catch, or hanging out. Those were sweet, precious times where I enjoyed just being in my dad's presence. When he was there, I loved it. And when he was gone out at sea, I missed him. Friends, that's what it means to fear God. That's what it means to fear God. We should be in awe of His might and power. He created the entire universe. He spoke things into existence. And we need to be in awe of that. And we'd better be afraid of Him because He has the ability to wipe us out without even moving His hand. But friends, by the way, let me tell you, there's nothing better than being in His presence. God wants to be known. God wants to be praised. He wants to be enjoyed. And He wants to be feared. Psalm 67 is such a meaty passage, and we haven't even begun to touch everything that's in there. We learn so much about God and His character and His ways and His plans when we read it and we study it. But this morning I want you to remember two main points from this psalm. When you leave today, I want you to remember these two things. In fact, if you haven't written a note this morning, I want you to write these two things down. Okay? This is important. First of all, I want you to know this. God blesses us for the sake of all the peoples of the world. God blesses us for the sake of all the peoples of the world. You know, one of the most important words that we see in the entire Psalm 67 is the first word in verse 2. That's the word that. God blesses us that the world will know Him and His saving power. Friends, this is the missionary responsibility that we have as God's people. I remember in the movie Spider-Man, you remember Peter Parker's Uncle Ben passed away. And before he died, he said this to Peter. He said, "With great power comes great responsibility, Peter." Right? But friends, in God's plan, here's what he says. With great blessing comes great responsibility. That's our missionary responsibility that we have. God gives us blessings that we can tell the world. Second thing I want you to remember is this, and it really comes from the first point. It's this. If God blesses us for the sake of all the peoples of the world, He'll be more apt to bless us if we're praying and planning and working to reach the people of the world. Think about that for a second. If He blesses us so that we can bless others, He's more apt to keep blessing us if we're doing what it takes to bless others in the world. Do you agree with that? John Piper said it like this, and I love this quote. I think you'll see it on the screen here. He said, "God will bless the church that's pouring itself out for unreached peoples of the world. And this blessing is not a payment for a service rendered. It's power and joy for a mission to accomplish. When we move toward the unreached peoples, we are not earning God's blessings." This is awesome. He says, "We are leaping into the river of blessings that is already flowing to the nations." Friend, that's our missionary responsibility. We are blessed so that we can bless others. So this morning, I just want to ask you a question. And I really would like to hear you answer me, a couple of you, on this. I want to ask you this. How has God blessed First Baptist Church of Brazoria? How has God blessed us? Somebody tell me. It's okay. You can talk. Tell me. Anybody. We have a great history. Well, thank you, Brother Pete. He said he brought me to you. Who else? Come on. The staff, okay. I want to tell you, we feel blessed by being brought here. John? Financially. He's blessed our church financially. Say that again. A loving church family. How about this? How about the presence of God's Spirit here with us today? Do you know that there's many churches throughout the world where people come to meet and God's Spirit is not there? Because people aren't gathering His name. That's a blessing. You remember something, a little thing that happened this summer? A little fellow by the name of Ike came to pay a visit. God blessed us when we were spared from damage. Do you agree? I mean, if we talk about financially, look at this church. We've got a beautiful roof over our heads now. We've got a brand new building out there. We have a great place to come and worship and to serve Him. Let's talk about health. We have our health. How about this? God has blessed our church with the opportunity to reach some of those unreached people groups. Would you ever believe that a little church in Southeast Texas, and I say little, we're really not little when you compare us to other churches. We're three times the size of the average church. But this church here from Brazoria, Texas, is reaching unreached people in Bulgaria, a group that nobody else in the world is going to, and we're going there. And down in central Mexico, the Pame people, this church is going to... Would you ever have believed that this would happen? That is a blessing from God. Do you agree? I've seen in this church healed marriages. I've seen people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I've seen strong friendships grow. I've seen people serving the Lord again. Those are all blessings. We are a blessed church. But you know, one of the problems that comes with being blessed is that you can become very spoiled, can't we? You can become sick of your own success, so to speak. And I think we need to heed the lyrics of that great hymn. It says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Friends, I don't think we should be surprised by what the Lord has done. We ought to be noticing it every single day. Have you noticed that God is working here? Come on, have you noticed that God is doing some things here? Friends, I got to tell you, you have to be blind if you haven't. We ought to be noticing it, and not only ought to be noticing it, we ought to be attributing it to Him, and we ought to be telling others about it. We have a great God. We know from God's Word that He's going to take care of our basic needs. We don't have to worry about what we eat. We don't have to worry about what we wear. He's got it covered. And you know, if we are obedient to His commandment to make disciples, we know that He's going to give us everything we need to get it done. Would you agree with me? We need to step out. He's blessing us. Not to make us famous, not to make us rich, not to make us comfortable, not to make First Baptist Church a mega church. He's doing it because His desire is to make His great name known throughout the world and the nations so that He would be praised, enjoyed, and feared in the entire world. The challenge we've got, because these are tough times, aren't they? The challenge we have is this. Do we pull back from our mission to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, here in Brazoria County, Texas, North America, and the ends of the world? Do we pull back because, you know, it's a little bit too costly financially or it's too costly personally? You know, I've got things going on in my life. I've got a career path. You don't understand. Do we pull away because of those things? Or do we step out in faith and follow Him and make His way known on the earth? Make His saving power known among all the nations? Do we step out in faith and take what He's blessed us with and bless others? I would submit to you this morning that we as individuals, we as a local church, we as part of the greater community of faith, we cannot afford to not step out on faith and follow Him wherever He leads. This should be our church's corporate prayer. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Make His face shine upon us, that His way may be known on the earth, that His saving power will be known among all the nations. You know, as we sit here, this is the last Sunday of 2008. And I wonder, friend, where do you stand with the Lord today? Do you know Him? I want to put it very simply and just tell you this. Every person here this morning has a sin problem. Every one of us. We all do. And I want you to know that if you don't address that problem, then you're doomed to death and eternal separation from God, who is the giver of all good things. The only way to address that sin problem is God's way, God's saving power, who is the Lord Jesus. And in a minute, we're going to have some music. And when that music starts playing, if that's you today, I want to invite you to come. You come talk to me, because I would love to tell you about God's way and His saving power. Maybe you're here this morning, you know, and you've already addressed your sin problem. You have a relationship with the Lord, but your life is really not a life of praise for God. You're not living like you belong to the sovereign Creator of the universe. I want to tell you that God's got a solution for you, friend. And I invite you also to come and talk to Him this morning. I would love to tell you about the mercy and the grace and the blessings that God has for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and your life is a life of praise. You're excited about what God's doing in your life and in the life of this church. I want to invite you this morning, you come and spend some time at this altar and pray for us, that prayer in verses 1 and 2, asking God to bless us so that His way and His saving power would be known among all the nations. John, if you and the instrumentalists will come, I want to invite you all to stand. And I want to encourage you, you come and respond as the Lord leads you this morning. You be obedient to Him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that You love us, that You care for us. And God, we thank You for the responsibility that You've given us. Father, we accept the responsibility that comes with Your blessings. And Father, we ask that You would help us to bless others with what You've given us. Lord, our heart's desire is to make You known through this world. God, would You come and touch us now? Change us, we pray in Jesus' name.